Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special word.
Welcome to our guests and our visitors. If you're here for the first time, we're so happy to have you with us. We hope you feel at home here at St. Benedict's.
There was a woman who was a mother and a grandmother and had dedicated most of her life to raising her children. And now she was going through the second round, raising grandchildren. And as you can imagine, with many children and grandchildren, she spends a lot of time in the kitchen, cooking, and trying to feed them all. She was the mother hen, if you will, of the family. Took care of everything and everyone. She barely had any time for herself. She rarely took time for her own needs. So one day, as she was crossing the street between the supermarket and her home, a bus hit her. And a few moments later, she was up at the pearly gates talking to St. Peter. And she said, "You know, this isn't fair. I still have children to raise and grandchildren to take care of. This is way too soon. I spent all of my life taking care of everyone else, and I've never really had time for me. I need a little more time." And Peter started looking at her record, and it was true. Her record was pretty clean. I mean, everything she had done was for others. There was no selfishness in her. There was absolutely nothing that they could point to. So Peter said, "Okay, you know, we'll give you some more time." And sure enough, you know, the EMTs, the paramedics, start resuscitation, and the lady is alive again. Now she's in the hospital for a couple of weeks recuperating, and miraculously and very quickly she gets out. Now, when she got out of the hospital, she totally changed. She went to the closest plastic surgeon, and she put some stuff on, took some stuff out. I mean, they did everything you can imagine to transform her. The face, everything. All the wrinkles were gone. And the lady was unrecognizable to everyone in her family because she was never in the kitchen anymore. "You want food? Go get it yourself." She started hanging out with her friends. She was at the clubs and the bars and going out late at night. No one could recognize her. I mean, she was like totally different. And about 3 or 4 months passed. And walking down that same street, between that same market and her home, once again, the same bus. Boom! Ends up at the pearly gates again and says, "Wait a minute, I have a complaint. I had just begun to live my own life. I had just, you know, begun everything again. I had a chance to start my life again. Look at this, you guys cut it this short." And Peter said, "Listen, lady, you changed so much, we didn't even recognize you." And you know, every time I hear this gospel, it always amazes me how the disciples of Jesus, who had heard him speak and who spent time with him, they were unable to recognize the risen Christ. And there's good news in that, by the way. And the good news is that the risen life, the resurrected life, is a totally transformed life. It is a new life. This Jesus who was beat on the cross, who had a crown of thorns, who had bled and suffocated and everything else, all the horrible things of the Passion were transformed into a new, glorious Christ. Now, it was the same Jesus, but transformed by the power of the resurrection. He looked totally new. It gives us great hope that the resurrected life will be a new, transformed life. It won't be the life as we know it, but the new life that God has created for us. That's what Easter joy, Easter resurrection is about. That's the hope of Easter. that we will be totally transformed. I think everyone should be a priest for a day. Because when you're a priest, you get the best questions. People think that you have every theological answer in the world. And I love it when ladies tell me, well, Father, I just want to know if I get to heaven or when I get to heaven, will I be able to recognize my husband? Will my husband recognize me? I always think to myself, I wonder if the husbands really want to be recognized. I don't know. Oh, come on. It's a joke. What I'm saying is, you know, will my doggy be there? Will I be able to see this or that? We don't know what it will be like. Well, we do know. And what this gospel passage points to is that the resurrected life is different. That the glorious Jesus was totally transformed. And that physically, even though he was there, body and soul, it was a different, glorious existence. And there's hope in that. God will transform us. That's the Easter mystery. The darkness of the passion, the pain of the cross, the darkness of the tomb will not have the final word, but we will rise in Christ and be totally transformed. Doesn't that give you hope? It gives us hope. There's another lesson here. And the other lesson is, can we see Jesus? Listen to me carefully. Can we see Jesus? Because the Lord was walking with these disciples. They were speaking to him about their worries and concerns, and he was speaking to them, and that thing went back and forth. But it's almost as if they were so distracted that they couldn't see the Lord. It was almost as if they were so distracted they couldn't really even listen to the Lord. And so, of course, now you've got Jesus telling them, well, don't you know? And the gospel tells us that he went from Moses all the way through all the prophets, speaking about the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And he explained everything in the scriptures to them. And I love what happens. Just about the time that Jesus has completed his mission with them, he gets an invitation. Oh no, stay with us. It's nearly evening. It's going to get dark. Stay with us. And it's at the moment when Jesus breaks the bread. It's at the moment of the breaking of the bread. And you will recall that in almost every resurrection situation, there's food involved. And there's a reason for that. When the daughter of Jairus was raised from the dead, if you look at Scripture, you'll see they gave her food to eat. That's to recognize that this is not a ghost, this is not some kind of spiritual being. You know, angels don't need food. They're pure spirits. Pure spirits don't need food. People need food. We're body and soul. We need to be nourished. We need water and food in order to survive. And so, of course, the daughter of Jairus gets food, and now you see how Jesus breaks the bread with them. Almost like saying, this is the risen Jesus, but he's just like you and me, body and soul. Not some kind of ghost, spiritual being, but someone that really eats and someone who's really here. It was that body laid in the tomb that was risen by Christ from the dead and transformed. And in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened. Can you see Jesus? Now it's almost automatic for those of us that come from, you know, the traditional churches, the sacramental churches, as Anglicans, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, Orthodox folks, we come from these churches with the sacraments, and so we're accustomed to these rituals where we come and we receive communion, we come to the altar, we receive the body and blood of Jesus, right? And we say, Amen. We believe Jesus is there, somehow there. We explain it all differently, but it's the same thing. Jesus is there, right? So the breaking of the bread, they opened their eyes and they saw the Lord. Now, this is the sacramental presence of Jesus. In Eucharist, on the altar, he promised it, remember? Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Do this in memory of me, right? It's almost like we can see Jesus here. We can see Jesus here. We can see it in the actions of Christ through the church and the Holy Spirit and all that. And we do these and these and these and these and that. Wonderful. That was just, you know, fast speed. That's cool. But what about when we leave here? What about when we leave church and we go into the parking lot and they cut us off? Can you see Jesus there? Can we see Jesus in that horrible driver, regardless of gender? You know, Ruhama and I have this game that we play. Whenever I get cut off in traffic or something like that happens, you know, I bet you it's a woman. She says, no, it's a man. No, it's a woman. No, it's a man. And then when we drive by, I'm usually right, by the way. You know what I mean. Now, can you see Jesus there? Can you see Jesus when you leave here, nourished by his body and blood? Can you see Jesus in that poor person that needs food? Can you see the presence of the risen Christ in the person that has been downtrodden by the cross of cancer, the cross of an illness, the cross of loneliness, one of the biggest, greatest poverties of our world? Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to always say, one of the saints of our times, Mother Teresa used to say that when you see a hungry person and you give them bread, you solve their problem. But she said the greatest poverty in our world is a lack of love. People who have no love. No one to listen to them, no one to care for them. Can you see Jesus there? Can you see Jesus in that person that may just need you to sit and listen to them? All of us have a neighbor, an aunt, a friend, a mother, or a grandmother that talks too much. I have a few of them in my family. And sometimes all they need is for us to listen. Can you see Jesus there? Can you see Jesus in the child that is not protected? In our society, believe it or not, even though we're in the 21st century, there's still a significant amount of child abuse and mistreatment. Young people. The other day, Ruham and I had a case of a young man, believe it or not, in these times, whose parents were keeping him from going to school. That's a form of abuse. A teenager. Oh no, the parents didn't want him to leave the house to go to school. Do you stay quiet? Do you speak up? Are you an advocate? Because you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, do you become an advocate for those who have no voice, for those who are being mistreated and abused, even in their own home? We need advocates today. Because we have churches that are filled on Sunday with people praising the Lord, and they're packed. But then we go out into the church, into the world, and we forget that we are the church in the world. That's where church matters. Because here it's easy to all say amen, and to all be together, and to all sing the hymns, and do the worship. But that worship has to lead us to go see Jesus, to see him on the journey. Because you know what? The disciples at Emmaus were like, we are. I know I am often. They were distracted. They were distracted with their own worries. They were distracted with their own preoccupations. They were distracted with their own concerns, and it did not allow them to see Jesus on the road. And that's why I ask you again, can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus in those places where Jesus needs you to see him? Because the Lord is present in so many ways. And the Lord is challenging us to really see, to pay attention. Our faith conviction, everything we say we believe, becomes real when we walk out of those doors. And when we recognize that we need to be disciples in this world, and that we need to give witness to the risen Christ, and never fall into the trap of thinking that God is somewhere else. You know what? God is with us. God is on the journey of this life. Don't fall into the trap of thinking God is up there somewhere. Like Plato used to say, you know, somewhere in the topus uranus, you know, in the world of ideas. That's not where God is. God is here. God became flesh and dwelt among us for a reason. God did not choose to stay up there somewhere. He's with us on the road. He's with us on the journey. And we must recognize the presence of the living God. And the only way that happens is if we open our eyes, the eyes of faith, if we open our hearts and the ears of the Spirit to listen to what the Lord is asking of us. I want you to think about it today. What's going on in your life right now? Maybe it's a problem at work. Maybe it's a difficult boss. Maybe it's a problem with your children, adult children, young children, teenagers. Maybe it's a problem in relationship, in marriage. Maybe it's a problem in your, you know, in your business, financially, you're struggling. Maybe it's an illness. For some people, it's going to be, you know, an illness. A real hard, difficult test. Something that is hard for you to bear that you never thought would happen to you. Think about it. And I want to ask you the question, can you see Jesus in that? Can you see Jesus? Can you see the cross? Can you carry that cross? Will God give you a cross you cannot bear? Will God give you a difficulty in our struggle that you cannot bear? And will God ever leave you alone on the journey? I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. Even though we're distracted, Jesus is with us on that road, on that journey. Wherever it is you're going, wherever your journey is leading you, remember, God is with you. I want to share something interesting I never share, but I want to share it today. When I got married, I spent 5 or 6 months, my wife and I, being followed by paparazzi everywhere we went. Because I spent 11 years working in Spanish television. And one day I was coming out of a restaurant, and I remember that about a year before that, one of the people that I was a DJ, remember that. So Michael Jackson had been there. And the manager says, Father, when Michael Jackson came here, we had all these paparazzi here, and I took him out of the back door. I said, you can come out the back door. Well, you know, my wife is really smart. And she said, yeah, they want us to go out of the back door because that's where all the paparazzi are lined up to take pictures so they can promote their restaurant. She was right. So we went out the front door. And as we went out the front door, there were only about a fourth of the paparazzi that were in the back. But because our car was parked in the back, we had to go there anyway. So we're walking, and they're all following us, 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 they're all following us. And I remember, you know, people asking me questions, and I just kept walking. And as we are getting into our car, there were this, I mean, it was a mob of people on top of us. And just as I'm going in the parking garage to get my car, There was a young woman with her husband, a little stroller like that one back there, a little stroller, a little baby, and two other smaller kids. And the woman started screaming, "Leave him alone! Leave him alone!" I've never honestly seen anything like that. "Leave him alone! Don't you guys already have enough? Just leave him alone!" And I saw in that woman's expression this incredible sense of compassion and of love and of care. She wasn't my friend. She wasn't my co-worker. She wasn't anyone that I had ever met. She just was subjected to watching the news and reading the newspapers, and she saw what was happening, and she said, "Stop!" But she said it with such passion and with a sense of almost protection that we felt embraced by her. You know, even though she was standing from here to the baptismal font over there. But she started, and they all started looking at her, these paparazzi and stuff, and you know, like, you know, maybe she's right. It didn't mean that they stopped taking pictures and stopped bothering us. They kept doing their thing. But you can tell that they were kind of like taken aback, because she was expressing what a lot of people felt. And so when we got in the car, and they were there on top of our windshield taking more pictures, I thought, isn't that interesting? It's almost like God is present in those situations and speaks to people and shows you his love and care to people that decide that they're going to speak their truth and say something from the heart. And the way she did it was in such a like caring way, like, leave them alone. They're entitled to be at peace and to walk down the street without you people bothering them. And I just thought, wow. And that image has stayed with me to this day. I don't know that person's name. I don't have their phone number to thank them. I'd like to thank them. I don't know, but I understood that at that moment, that person was being kind of like an angel, saying, let them be. And you know, in life, so many of those things happen. The homeless guy that was, you know, at the gas station, as I was pumping gas, and started getting closer and closer and closer to me, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? Because when you're in a collar, by the way, every homeless person in the street knows you're going to give them a handout, because you're the pastor and you must have money to give them out. Even if you don't have even a quarter in your pocket, they expect you to give them something. The good father is going to give me something. So as the guy gets closer and closer, oh, what am I going to do? I don't have any cash. What am I going to do? Oh, Father, I'm just here to tell you, you left your lights on. I thought he wanted a handout. He came to help. See, we need to see Jesus in that, because God is love. And in every expression of love in our world and in our society, God is there. And I'm here to tell you that even though we hear a lot of bad news every day, there's a lot of God out there. And you see Jesus, because we're called to see Jesus there. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.